and the Yiddish developed all sorts of connotations, and it made a fetish out of the Yiddish language. That was the medium of culture. And very many famous authors wrote in Yiddish. You still have today the Nobel Prize winner Isaac Basheva Singer writes in Yiddish, translated into English. But what he writes in is in Yiddish. Today, again, the irony of it is that Yiddish is almost exclusively the preserve of the Orthodox and of the right-wing Orthodox. But for a long period of time, the Yiddish Haskola was strong. You had here in the United States Shalom Aleichem schools, Parrot schools, Arbiter Ring schools that were built upon the idea of Yiddish culture. And this promotion of the Yiddish language went to such an extreme that they would take the Hebrew words which existed in the Yiddish, in Yiddishism. For instance, in Yiddish you cannot misspell anything. That's why it's one of the greatest languages in the world. However you spell it is right. So, for instance, in Yiddish, if you want to say, Gut Shabbos, right? So Gut is Gimel Vav Tes, which means good, German word. And Shabbos is the way we spell Shabbos, Shimon Beis Sof. But the real Yiddishisten would not spell Shabbos that way, because Shabbos then was a Hebrew word. And they wanted to get rid of the Hebrew. So Shabbos was spelled Shin, Aleph, Beis, Ayin, Samach. Shabbos. And you know, today, you want to see it. You see how, insanities don't die easily. In Russia, there is a Jewish newspaper that the Russian government publishes weekly. And that's how they spell Shabbos. That's how they spell everything. Nothing is spelled in Hebrew. Everything is spelled in the Yiddish. And it is to our shame that in the land of Israel there are papers from the left-wing secularists and who are engaged in this current Kulturkampf, which unfortunately is being waged there, who also, when they want to say, Shabbos, they want to mock it, so they spell it that way. Shin, Aleph, Beis, Ayin, Samach. To show it has nothing to do with modern Hebrew. But that fetish of the Yiddish culture remained almost till our time. When the first settlers came to Eretz Yisrael, there was a strong debate among the Ashkenazic settlers what should be the language of the land, whether it should be Yiddish or Hebrew. And it was only through the perseverance of one man, Eliezer ben Yehuda, who made the language Hebrew. But for the first 30 years of main settlement, Yiddish was the language. And if you go in Israel today, you will still hear Yiddish spoken much more than you do hear it in the United States. There still are Yiddish newspapers, etc. It has a greater currency than it does here. The third Haskola was the Russian Haskola. The Russian Haskola was to make the Jews Russian. Make them Russian in dress and in habit and in language. The Jews would gather on the Sabbath to read Dostoevsky or Tolstoy or Pushkin or any of the other works that were then current. It was to show the Russians that you were Russian, because they felt that part of the complaint of the Tsar, and they felt that the Tsar was correct in his complaint, was that the Jews weren't really Russian. And if they weren't really Russian, then he had a right to do whatever he wanted. So they were out to make the Jews Russian. And the Russian Haskola had that as their goal, to Russify the Jewish people who lived there. The fourth Haskola, which would